Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you one and all for spending some of your time with us. It's always exciting to think of you all over the world, tuning in whenever you can. And of course, some people are listening live right now while we're recording the show. My guest tonight is Pam Montgomery, who's going to be talking about plant spirit healing. And I'm just fascinated with that. It's very much a shamanic method, and we'll have fun learning about it. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing, which in some ways is about Einstein's theory of relativity and how we experience time. He said that if you spend an hour with a beautiful young woman, it seems like a second. And if you put your hand on a hot stove for a second, it feels like an hour. That time is completely about our experience of what's going on. My experience at the moment is that today is my daughter's 21st birthday. Happy birthday, sweetie. And there are moments in time in her life that seem like they happened yesterday or last week. I can still take myself back to the birthing room and remember what happened in the first couple of hours of her life. And many, many other moments throughout her life. And suddenly she's 21 and the world says she's an adult. It's like, yay, we did it. Huh? What exactly happened here? How could that possibly be? Why are you not the kid in the backpack that I carried into town every morning? Why aren't you the baby that meditated with me on my lap? Why aren't you the kid that I watched take dance class for 14 years? It's amazing to realize that time really is something that at least I, and I don't think anybody, understands. And it really is about our experience and how in the moment and involved we have been with various events, that time doesn't really matter. It's not about the mechanical thing that someone did looking at the rotation of big rocks and saying, well, it goes around this thing in this amount of time and that turns this way and we'll divide it up into chunks and we'll say that this is time. No, that's something we do to create schedules and be able to be efficient and effective and say that we have a system, but it's not how we experience time. And I am in awe of what, as I said in the message to her today, it's been a lot of fun growing up with her because I grew up as much as she did. You know, we learned together. So take a look at the things that go on in your life and how precious they are and which ones are timeless, and, you know, realize what a blessing they are. Just what a blessing they are. So again, happy birthday to my daughter. And I hope that you have been blessed with wonderful things that have totally and swamped you with it, their experience. And may we all be blessed. And that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And let's say hello to my guest, Pam Montgomery. I'm so glad you could make it.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we got caught up in a snowstorm at the studio 2 weeks ago and had to postpone this. So I apologize for the weather, not that I could do anything about it.
Nothing you can do about the weather anymore. It's just up to the fates.
Right. Right. So what I always ask as all of my guests is, how did you wind up doing this? You know, how did your life unfold? What was the journey, the walkabout that led you to the understanding and the work that you're doing?
Well, that's kind of a long story that started a very long time ago in my early childhood, which is that I had the great blessing to have grandparents that lived in the eastern hills of Kentucky, in the Appalachian hills of Kentucky. And it was like when we visited our grandparents, it was like, you know, it was kind of like going back like 100 years in time. It was like, mm-hmm. Neither one of them drove a car. They didn't know how to drive. When you talk about like people that are like salt of the earth, like, you know, those were the kind of people they were. They just lived off the land. They grew their own food. They did all of that. And so, as a child, I got to go there during the summers and be with my grandparents. And my granny was a plant person. And so she would like, and in the South, which Kentucky is kind of considered the South, like your main meal is at noontime. Like that's right. When you get your main meal. And so she'd be in the kitchen from morning till through the noon meal, till it was cleaned up. And by like about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she would be, then she would be free to go out and be with her plants. And she had plants everywhere. And she would go out and she would be in and amongst her plants, and she'd be picking and pruning and talking. And she'd be talking like all the time, talking. And I'd be like, so at one point I went up and I said, Granny, like, who are you talking to? And in her very Kentucky accent, she would say, well, plants are just like people. They need friends, too. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And so, like, my grandmother really instilled in me this thing that, like, you talk to your plants, like you're friends with your plants, like you're in communication with your plants. And so, like, I got this idea, like, very early on, as a child, that this is the way you're supposed to be with plants. Like you're in communication with plants, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And it wasn't until many, many years later as an adult that it was like, not everybody operates this way. And I thought everybody did this. Like, I thought, you know, like, oh, this is the way it is. And then I learned later, like, oh no, like, this is not exactly the way it is. Like, if you do this, like, some people think you're like crazy. So anyway, so my very early impression, I feel like I got a head start because of my grandmother, because I think she gave me this idea that this is the way that you are that you behave with plants, is that you communicate with them, they're your friends, you talk to them, that helps them grow better, everything. You know, so anyway, what was the question again? My grandmother, she really helped me to like have this idea that you communicate with your plants. And so then as I got older and I, you know, started to work with plants and got into the herbal world and gardening and all of that, I learned all the medicinal properties. I learned the edible and medicinal properties of plants. I learned all that, but it always felt like there was more. There was always more. It was another aspect. And so my leading edge was always like, what is the bigger aspect of plants that, you know, how do I like understand their whole being? Okay, I understand their physical aspect of how they physically, you know, affect the body, but how do they affect the rest of our beingness? And so that was always my kind of leading edge, was the exploration of how to understand how they affected like our hearts and our souls and our spirits. So anyway, Does that answer your question? I'm really interested in like the whole beingness of the plant. Yeah.
Well, it tells us how you began doing this.
Yes.
And how did the work evolve? What are you doing now with that relationship with the plants?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's been an entire exploration. So it started with kind of wanting to understand like the aspect of the plants of like how do you communicate with them? How do you like what's the language? What's the common language in which we can communicate with plants? Mm-hmm. And so that was my beginning exploration of that kind of like wanting to understand the bigger aspect was like, how do we really do this communication thing? So it started with like, okay, so sensory awareness. So we as human beings, we have these senses, and that's how we experience our environment is through our senses. And so how do we communicate with plants through our sensory awareness? So that was the beginning. And like taste, touch, smell, sight, you know, all of that. And then from there, and that's a good exploration. And then from there, it kind of went into this place of like the felt sensations. So it was kind of like, okay, so then we have this sensory exploration, and then we have this felt sensation. And the felt sensation is being with a plant and you receive this like vibratory resonance in your body as a sensation. And like, and that's what I mean. I mean, it's like a sensation in your body, like, okay, mm-hmm. It's like a fluttering in your chest, or it's a warm sensation somewhere, but it's literally a sensation. So it's a felt sensation. And that felt sensation, once you receive that felt sensation, like, okay, here it is. What is that? Okay, how do I relate to that? What does that mean to me? And then you take it a little step further from felt sensation, and you drop down a little bit into like, okay, so we have this felt sensation. What's the emotional response? Like, how do I feel about that felt sensation? What's the feeling sensation that comes up from that felt response in my body? And then what's the meaning? Like, what does that mean? Like, what's that mean to me? Like, how do I relate to that? What's that mean to me? So it was this whole kind of exploration. So that was the beginning. Exploration was sensory awareness and then felt sensation. And then from there, I mean, you know, it's this amazing, plants are amazing. They're just amazing beings. And it's like that old Buddhist saying, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And that's how it is with plants. It's like when you're ready, they bring you, they kind of like bring you the next piece. So for me, my exploration with plants and trees has been when I'm ready, then the next piece comes. And so the next very big piece after sensory awareness and felt sensation was what I call green breath. And green breath is just like it sounds, breathing. It's like, where does our breath come from? Oh, it comes from the plants. Right, that's right. We breathe in oxygen and we breathe out carbon dioxide, which they breathe in. And so there's this exchange of breath going on all the time with the green beings. So kind of sort of based on transformational breath work, you know, that whole thing, like, you know, you breathe and you do all this stuff, was that I developed this whole thing. I had this experience. Okay, I'll tell you this experience. It was kind of wild. This lovely woman named Elisa Starkweather, came and did this workshop and on transformational breath work. And I was like, okay, we're going to breathe for how long? We're going to breathe an hour and a half. Wow, that's a long time. Okay, like, I think I'll like pick a plant to breathe with, since that's where my breath comes from. So I chose in that experience to breathe with white pine, which is one of my, it's a tree, white pine tree, awesome tree, who's one of my main allies. And I was like, okay, I'm going to breathe with this tree. And so I did. And like, wow, it was like an experience like I can't even hardly describe, except that, like, I said to myself at the end, it was like, it was such an ecstatic experience. I was like, oh my God, like, I kind of had a feeling you could have sex with plants, but I wasn't quite sure how you could do that. Oh my God, this is how you can do it. Like, you can have sex with plants through breath. Wow. So anyway, I had this awesome experience with this tree, with this white pine tree, through this breathing experience. And so I developed a whole way of working with plants and trees, and that I call green breath, which again, it's similar to transformational breath work, except that you're focusing on a plant. So you're breathing with a plant ally, and mm-hmm. it's extremely powerful and deep and transformational, and takes you to these places that you can hardly imagine. So anyway, so that was another level of experience with the plants. And then the next progression was that of plant initiations. And so are you with me? Do you want me to keep going?
Oh, I'm totally with you. I'll tell you some of my experiences, but I don't want to stop you at all.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're cool. And so so the next level was this thing of plant initiations. And so plant initiations is okay. So this is a bit of a story, but hopefully you'll bear with me on this story. So I was in England teaching a workshop in Cornwall. And, you know, there was this experience with primrose, like hillsides of primrose just blooming, which here, you know, we don't really have that. We have primrose as more as a cultivated plant. It's not really a wild plant in the East, anyway, in the Eastern world, Eastern mm-hmm. coast world, that we don't have that as a wild plant. We have it as a cultivated plant. But in England, it's like on the hillsides, it's everywhere. So anyway, this plant was like blooming everywhere. And wherever I was, it was like, oh my God, these hillsides of these beautiful little yellow, all the leaves are these little heart-shaped leaves. Oh, so they're so preciously beautiful. Anyway, so all this primrose. So so then it happens. It so happens at that time that this major event happens, which is called a volcanic eruption in Iceland, which made it so that I was stuck there. I couldn't get home. I didn't even know what was happening. I was like teaching a class, and I get to London, where I'm spending the night, where I'm supposed to fly out the next morning, and it's like, oh no, you're not going anywhere. No, anywhere. You are stuck here. And I'm like, oh. And I had like one night scheduled in London because I was going to fly out the next morning. It was like, okay, like now what? Where do I stay tomorrow night and the next night and the next night and the next night? How long do I even know I'm here? And so, you know, thank God I had my computer with me and I was able to communicate with my husband at home, and he's trying to help me like figure out what the heck I'm going to do. And so my dear friend, Carol Guyett, who lives in Ireland, who has, who's done, she's an amazing herbalist and amazing work. We decided it was best that I try to get to Ireland and stay with her. because that's some place that I could be with some people who loved me and cared for me. And I didn't have to be in some skanky hotel in London and blah, 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 blah. And so we worked that out. And so I was, and everybody was trying to get somewhere. Everybody was trying to get somewhere. I mean, it was crazy in London. And so I managed to get on a night boat to London. But the way I got on this night boat was that, so here I am. I go to the lady at the hotel at the reception, and I said, "So I need to get to this boat that goes to London. That goes to Ireland. Blah 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 blah." She said, "Oh, well, just go out and stand on the corner and wait for the red bus." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So I've got my my two bags that I'm rolling behind me, and my frame drum that I've got hung over my shoulder that I'm trying to, you know, and my two my bags that I'm like rolling behind me, and I go out and I stand on the corner, and like, do you know how many red buses there are going by? it's like there's many red buses that have, you know, I have no idea. And I'm like, oh, the red bus. Well, there's friggin' 50 million red buses. So I'm standing there going, okay, dear God, okay. I need help right now. Okay. So one of my main allies, White Pine, who I had sex with actually during Green Bread, White Pine. I said, okay, White Pine, Tower of Strength. White Pine is my Tower of Strength. Okay, White Pine, help me right now, right in this moment. And I need help right in this moment because I am really have no clue what I'm doing and I don't know how to get where I'm going and I need help now. I need help now. And so I just like did that on that corner, standing there in London on that corner with all these red buses going by. And here comes walking up the street this businessman with his little suit and tie on of Indian descent, dark-skinned Indian descent, comes up with his very British accent. And he says to me, because he sees the big tears rolling on my face, and he says, "Do you need help?" And I said, "Well, actually, yes, I do. I need to go to Ireland." And he said, "Oh." And he said, "Well, you need to take this bus to this place, to this train, to that, and then switch there, and then get this, and then get this boat." And I said, wait. I need to write this down. He said, "Oh, well, I'll take you." And I was like, "Oh, you'll take me." So then I heard that voice in my head, which is actually my mother's, that said, "Don't you ever walk with a stranger." And I was like, oh, he's a stranger. What should I do? So I said, "Give me a minute." And I just turned to the side. I checked in my heart and I said, "Okay, should I go with this guy?" And my heart said, "Ping, ping, ping, ping. Yes, you should." And I was like, "Okay, let's go." So we got on the next bus and we went. And we had to go like, oh God, it was such a journey. We had to go a couple buses and then we had to go to where the train was, which is kind of a sketchy area of town. It was, we got off the bus like, woo, this is sketchy. And so we go to where the train is and the guy behind the counter supposedly was speaking English, but I didn't understand a word. and this one wonderful businessman supposedly helped me negotiate the whole thing and helped me buy my ticket and then walked me down to the platform to get on the train. And he said, "Now don't forget, you have to change trains at this location." I was like, "Okay, got it." And then I started to get on the train. I was like, wait, what's your name? And he said, "My name is Hans." I was like, "Hans." Right. Okay. So we have English businessman of Indian descent
named Hans.
Right.
It's okay. Wonderful.
I got on the train. I was like, who was that? I seriously think it was an angel that really was helping out with the whole thing. But it was like this whole like wild experience. So anyway.
I hate to interrupt the story because it's so wonderful, but we're going to have to go to a break in a couple of minutes. And I want to make sure people know.
Believe me.
I want to make sure people know how to find you online and know about your book. So what's your website?
It is a long website. It's PartnerEarthEducationCenter.com. PartnerEarthEducationCenter.com.
Terrific. And what's the name of your book?
It is called Plant Spirit Healing, A Guide to Working with the Consciousness of Plants.
Fantastic, which we will be talking about more because I get the feeling when you get to Ireland, other things happen.
Oh, that's right.
I must be psychic or something.
You are sure.
So my guest tonight is Pam Montgomery, whose work is Plant Spirit Healing. And we will hear more of her incredible story when we're back shortly, unless we get taller, here on the Farkas Files. This is David Franklin Farkas. Don't go nowhere.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my guest, Pam Montgomery, who does plant spirit healing and was telling us this incredible story. And one last scene, our heroine was leaving London to take a boat to Ireland.
Yes, she was. And so I did. I made it all the way from London across a couple trains and to the boat. And it was a night boat. It was one of the last spots on the night boat, because like I said, everybody was trying to get somewhere. And so I made it on the boat and got to the southern. The boat came into Rosslea in the southern part of Ireland. And my friend Carol and her husband lived in the west of Ireland in County Clare. And so her husband had to drive 3 or 4 hours to pick me up. And I arrived at 6 in the morning. And so here I am. I'm arriving off this boat, with all my gear. And I come down and there he is. And he said, "Oh, can I help you with your bags there, mate?" And I was like, "Oh my God, yes, you can." I kind of crumpled into his arms. I was so grateful to see somebody that I knew. And so we drove back to County Clare, and it so happened it was the end of April was the timing, and I was supposed to be home within a couple days to start my first class for my apprentice program for that year, and I couldn't get back there. I there was no planes. It was not happening. So my dear heart husband had to contact all these people and say, "Sorry, she's not gonna be here for the first class of the apprenticeship." So here I was in Ireland, and my dear friend Carol has been working for many years with what we have now started calling plant initiations, which is that it's working with one plant, a common plant, not a psychotropic plant, but a common plant. And some people would call this plant dieting. And, if you were going to go to South America and work with ayahuasca, it would be called a plant diet of ayahuasca. And you would ingest ayahuasca and have this experience. So anyway, so what she has been doing for many years with a group of people has been working with common plants by putting together what she calls an elixir, a combination of the, different parts of the plant to make an elixir that you drink throughout a period of time and have an experience with it. So, and she does, because she's very involved in the Celtic tradition, she does it on the High Holy Days. So the High Holy Days are the equinoxes, the solstice, and the cross quarter days. And so we were approaching the cross quarter day of May 1st, which is Beltane. And I was there at the end of April when this volcano was going off. And so she was harvesting, of course, primrose, which were the primrose that I was seeing everywhere that were on the hillsides in England, everywhere. And I was the plant had already been communicating with me, coming into my realm, on my radar screen, in my realm of existence. There they were. And then I come to her and she's preparing. She's getting ready for this plant initiation with the primrose. And so she's harvesting the flowers and so I had the privilege of harvesting the plants with her and making the elixir with her, and everything was done in a very ceremonial way. We were treating this plant in a very sacred way, that in every step of the way, every step of it, was the plant was treated as a sacred being and as an elder and as one that was going to initiate us and one that was going to create this ceremony for us. And so all of it was treated in that way. And I got to participate in her preparation and the way in which she ceremonially prepared it. And so so basically what happened was, you never could have planned it. You never could have There's no way that in any of your imagination could you plan something like this, because how could I ever plan that a volcano would go off so that I couldn't get home, so that I could go to England, so I could go back to Ireland, so that I could like learn all this thing about plant initiation, so I could learn how to do the initiation, so I could learn how to prepare the elixir to do the initiations with other common plants with people. It would never, I could never have imagined it in this way. And
that's how a walkabout is.
This is how it happens, you know? This is how it goes down. It's like, okay, here we are. You want to learn? Here it is. So this was like the plants handing it to me on a silver platter. You want to learn the next level of working with plants? Okay, here it is. And so finally there came a time at which I was able to get on an airplane and go home. But we had already made the elixir, and she sent me home, and it was prior to May 1st, which is Beltane, which is when the ceremony was going to happen in Ireland. And I went home with some of the elixir that we had made together. And so I got home, and it was like they were doing their ceremony in Ireland, and I was doing my own very individual with myself ceremony at home with the elixir that I was drinking. And so the way you do it is like you fast throughout a period of 3 days, actually it is. And you do all these different things with the plants, you do journeys with the plants, and you do, you know, you embody the plant through, you make a mask and you embody the plant, and you speak for the plant, and you do green breath with the plant, you do all this stuff with the plant. And so I was doing that at home by myself as they were doing it in Ireland. And it was this whole incredible, like, next level of experience with deepening with these very common plants. We're not talking psychotropic plants, which when you talk about like dieting or whatever with plants, most people would say, oh, you're talking about psychotropic plants. No, we're talking about common plant, very, very common everyday plants who, when you treat them in a ceremonial way and you ingest them in that way, believe me, there is very altering experiences that can happen with these common plants. Sure. So what I came to understand about all this thing about initiation with plants is that initiation, what does that mean? So in traditional cultures, initiation means young people coming in, you know, into their, you know, they come of age, and they're initiated into the tribe, into the collective, into the, you know, group, the group consciousness, whatever you want to call it. And so in our culture, we are a culture full of uninitiated humans. We have not been initiated into the collective. We do not know what it means to, we're all like little individuals running around trying to figure it out. We are not part of the collective, of the tribe. And the elders, where are the elders? Where are the elders that can initiate us? They're mostly gone. They're not, they don't exist anymore. It may be here and there in some parts of the world, but in this culture, not, they don't exist really. So who are the elders? The plants and the trees, who we are related to, of course, are stepping up to the plate just like they've always done. They've always preceded their animal counterparts in evolution. If you look through evolution, the plants have always preceded their animal counterparts. So one more time, here we go. What's our next level of evolution? We need to be initiated into what it means to be a part of a collective, to work together, not individually, but together. And so the plants are stepping up to the plate, and they're stepping into their role as the elder to initiate us into what it means to be truly human and to be a part of the collective. So that's the next. So that's the next level. That's the next step in this work with the plants, is this plant initiation.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So, it's awesome.
So is most of what you do the apprenticeships, or do you work with individuals? How do you apply this?
Well, all of it. I do an apprenticeship. This year, I'm doing it in California. Classes and individual work, healing work. But I do plant initiations. Like, I mean, the plant initiations actually are my kind of leading edge right now. So this year in Vermont, which is where I live, we're doing a St. John's Wort plant initiation. I'm doing one in Ohio, a dandelion initiation in Ohio. I'm doing a nettle initiation in Devon, England. So we do these initiations a lot, and I'm so thrilled by it and excited by it. I just want to do more and more and more. It's like a way of going really deep with one plant. Like it's like what happens is like you do this total merge with a. I mean, by the time you're done with a plant initiation, it's like there's no difference between you and the plant. It's like you're one. You're like you do this merge. It's quite phenomenal, actually.
Had a few experiences like that spontaneously with big trees.
Yeah, trees are awesome.
The trees are really
doing amazing work right now because they're doing this thing between they're doing it in a two way. They're doing like the connecting thing on the earth, like through the roots that connect to the mycelium, and so this connective thing through the earth. But they're also like the antennas to the cosmos, and so they're making this communication with the cosmos too. So they're doing this two-way thing, which is like amazing, incredible, like a tree. Wow. Yeah. Tell me your experience with the trees. What are you experiencing with the trees?
Well, one of my teachers was a Cherokee medicine man. And I used to go running across, this was Sonoma County in California, running up on a ridge above a winery. And there was a grove of trees. And when I would get close to the trees, the leaves would suddenly rustle. And he said, the wind is the voice of the trees, and they're saying hello to you. Go find the grandmother tree, the tree that was the first tree there that seeded the rest of that grove, and introduce yourself and pay your respects, and then just start talking to them, communicating with them. And it got to the point where as soon as my eyes got above the edge of the ridge so I could see the trees, the wind would shift and the leaves would rustle. And I would go by and say, thank you, you know, what a wonderful thing to connect with you. And as soon as I got past them, the wind would die down, the leaves wouldn't rustle. So I've had that in a number of places. The most profound one I had with a tree was there was a small tree planted to honor my father. He worked at a big institution and they did a big memorial ceremony and planted this tree. And so after everybody settled down and I had a quiet moment, I went to the tree and thanked it for being the holder of the honor to my father. I said, but you don't know him, so let me give you a brain dump about who Dad is. And I just sat there and gave him the history of my father and how I felt about him and all of that telepathically. And the wind kicked up, shifted 90 degrees, and blew hard enough for this little sapling to bow to us. And then it sprung back up. And my roommate, who was just there to hold my hand so I didn't have to be alone, was completely blown away. She wasn't used to that stuff. Yeah, right. Did that really happen? I'm like, oh, yeah. Welcome to my life.
Yep. That's great.
You know, he also would say if there's a poisonous plant, there is another plant growing right next to it. That's the antidote. That nature is smart enough not to put anything that's toxic in a place where you couldn't be healed from it. So it's not my primary. Herbs have never been my primary modality, but connecting with the trees certainly has been a big part of what I've done.
Well, you know, like, we all wouldn't be here if it wasn't for plants and trees.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you wouldn't be breathing right now. And, you know, it's like we don't create, you know, it's the plants that, you know, through the power of their work with the sun and photosynthesis, you know, they make tissue. We don't make tissue from the sun. They do.
Right.
So just to say, like, all of us need to get with the program here, which is that plants are the reason we are here and alive. Just to say. And they've been here since day one, and they continue to adapt to their environmental milieu. And so if we need to, like, adapt to our environmental milieu, which is rapidly changing right now, we need to pay attention to the plants, because they're the ones that can guide us and teach us how to adapt to be on this planet in very changing times.
Right. Yeah. And unfortunately, capitalism is about profit, and lots of trees are being cut down for completely nonsensical reasons,
right.
Which I hope will fail under its own weight, because it's incredibly stupid. But, this, you know, we're in a period of stupidity, which will be, since the pendulum will swing, will undoubtedly be a period of greater consciousness. But at the moment, it's really annoying. And dangerous. Yes, a lot of stupid things are being done in the name of profit. And don't get me started.
Oh, that's okay. You can start. That's what's needed, actually, is for all of us to start.
Right. Yeah. It's having the conversation. You know, we're at the moment watching it play out in politics in totally bizarre ways. If it wasn't so strange and scary, it would be a wonderful comedy skit.
Yeah, I live in Vermont, and, you know, I live in Vermont, and I'm all for Bernie Sanders. Like, he's the most awesome person. Like, if we have to look on a political level right now, which we're not talking about politics, we're talking about plants, but Bernie.
Right.
He's honest, and he's real.
Yeah, well,
he's telling the real story.
Yep, absolutely. And anytime there's a period of great chaos, it's preceding a period of great transformation. So we certainly have the chaos, and we can just expect that huge transformation, and that the world will change. And I think he's going to be one of the people that makes that happen.
Well, he's at least bringing the conversation to the forefront. That's
right. Right.
Yeah. So, and I, in a way, I feel like, you know, the plants and the trees are kind of like initiating that. That's what's coming to me is like, you know, here's another cool story is that recently I was down in Vieques, Puerto Rico, which is.
I actually know where that is.
What did you do? Okay, off the east coast of the mainland of Puerto Rico, or the main island of Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to, I've been there many, many times. I used to go down there in the early, late 80s, early 90s, many times. And so recently, we were just there not so long ago, my husband and I. And so, of course, we went to Bio Bay. We went to Bioluminescent Bay, and which is where the bioluminescent algae is. And so here's this amazing, like, understanding that I just have come to with the bioluminescent bay is that the algae has both characteristics of animals and plants.
Yes.
Both. And I was like, oh, really? I didn't realize that.
And algae does many of the same things that trees do.
Yeah. And so, it only lights up at night. Well, algae only is lighting up at night, and only when it interacts, when it has an interaction with.
Right. Only when it's physically disturbed.
When it has an interaction with something else. So I'm like, oh. So I've started to really investigate this whole notion, because I'm really into like the idea of light and sound, light and sound as communication vehicles with plants and trees. Mm-hmm. That's kind of scientifically proven that's the basis of communication is light and sound. So I'm looking at this bioluminescent algae. I'm in a glass-bottomed kayak out in the bay, and I'm going, ooh. Oh, my God, look, check this out. This is, like, so awesome. And so I'm, like, looking at this algae and thinking, wow, is this, like, an evolutionary, like, and this is a single-celled organism. It's, right. like, one little cell. And I'm, like, it's not even complex. It's like one little cell. And so I'm like, wow, is this like some kind of like evolutionary thing that we need to like seriously understanding, like to help us to understand like light and how we communicate through light and an organism that's both plant and animal. So it has both characteristics.
Fascinating stuff.
Wow.
Pam, this happens every time I have a wonderful guest with a lot to tell us. We're running out of time.
Oh, can we keep on talking about this?
I would love to have you back, and we can do a show focused on some particular aspect of what you're doing. Tell people again your website and the name of your book.
Okay. It is partnereartheducationcenter.com. So it's a big, long word. partnereartheducationcenter.com.
And fantastic.
My book is Plant Spirit Healing, A Guide to Working with Plant Consciousness.
Terrific. And, you know, your walk about a new story is just wonderful, and I'm sure that there are many more stories to tell. So I'll look forward to arranging another time, and we can hear more. My guest tonight is Pam Montgomery, and she does plant spirit healing. And as you can tell, she's communicating with and understanding plants in a way that most people never even consider as possible. So it's very exciting to hear about that in totally other level of consciousness. Pam, thanks so much for being on the show.
You're welcome. Nice to talk with you.
And if you stay on, we can chat after the show. And if you guys happen to get curious about who is this guy, David, and what in the world does he do, you can go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding in plain view on the contact tab is every possible technology for getting in touch with me, including a scheduling link. I do a free 20-minute assessment of what's going on with a person, place, situation, whatever it happens to be, and we can see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more about the show, the website for the show archive and the background information is thefarkasfiles.com. We've been doing this for 5 years now, which means we have hundreds and hundreds of wonderful interviews with amazing people. And take advantage of that. There's a lot of wonderful stuff in there. And you can also listen to it, first of all, on Empower Radio. The show is on at 9 p.m. every night with an archive show and then a live show on Thursday. But Empower Radio has incredible shows 24/7, and we're on most of the streaming media, iTunes, podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and we have our own mobile app. You can look at the websites for apps for the Android or the iPhone and put in Empower Radio. And once you have the app in there, you just choose a show and click on programs, and it gives you the entire archive of shows for that one. So if you want to listen to my show a lot, that's a really easy way to do it. It's a marvelous little app, and we're very excited that it's the new app is finally here and up and running. So until next week, I hope you enjoy the show and you have a fantastic week. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a great week.